Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and the New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Don't take your microphone off, your headset off. Do I yell too loud for you, Zach?
I was putting it on.
Okay, just checking. All right, so today we're going to talk about the history of gun control. Also, do's and don'ts for firearm purchases. Man, I tell you, people just don't know what to do when it comes to filling out that 4473 and walking into the gun store. But you know what? We're going to help you out today. We're going to make sure you do the right thing. Also, going to tell you all the do's and the don'ts. I'm going to tell you some of the things to watch out for. Going to tell you about that multiple sale, the things that I can tell you on the radio show, but I can't tell you when you walk into the gun store. I'm going to tell you all the little secrets. And I know the ATF is listening. They don't want me to tell you these secrets, but you know what? I'm going to tell you the secrets. I can't tell you in the gun store, but I can tell you those secrets on the radio. All right, so we're going to talk about that. But I want to talk to you about the history of gun control. Because when I'm teaching my classes, the license to carry handgun courses, and we do them, let me tell you, 4-5 times a week. And by the way, we're full all the way to the end of July. People always ask, why in the world can I walk down the street in Texas and I can carry a rifle, a shotgun, an AR-15, an AK-47 in the open, fully loaded, locked and ready? Why can I do that, but I can't carry a handgun? And I have to tell them, you know what? It goes back to the 1800s. Back in the 1800s, it first started with no guns for Negroes, the Jim Crow laws. Jim Crow laws were a collection of state and local statutes that legalized racial segregation, named after a black minstrel show character. And the laws, which existed for about 100 years from the post-Civil War era until 1968, were meant to marginalize African Americans by denying them the right to vote, hold jobs, get an education, or other opportunities. Those who attempted to defy Jim Crow laws often face arrest, fines, jail sentence, violence, and death. Black codes, which they were called, or the roots of Jim Crow laws, began as early as 1865, immediately following the ratification of the 13th Amendment. So you're going to learn today. I thought I told you. Ah, you just want to know, why in the world do we have gun control? Where did gun control come from? This is where your first gun control began. So the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery in the United States. So those black codes were strict local and state laws that detailed when, where, and how formerly enslaved people could work and for how much compensation. The codes appeared throughout the South as a legal way to put black citizens into indentured servitude, to take voting rights away, to control where they lived and how they traveled, and to seize children for labor purposes. So you have to watch out for those people that are telling you You don't need guns for this. You shouldn't have guns for that. Anyone is telling you you should not own a gun, they're racist. I'm telling you straight up. That's what it's all about. Someone tells you you shouldn't own a gun, you don't need a gun, that's where it all started. That's where it's always been since the 1800s. Anyone that's saying that you shouldn't own a gun, you don't need a gun, we need more gun laws, they're racist. And I'm going to explain to you why. Okay, when you take long guns, rifles, shotguns, AR-15s, AK-47s, in Texas, you can walk down the street and you can openly carry a loaded AR-15, an AK-47. That is legal in Texas. You don't need a license for that. But when you walk outside your door, you walk down the street and you're carrying a handgun, you're automatically committing a crime in Texas, unless you have a handgun license. Or you're going from your home to your vehicle, inside your vehicle, there's a premises under your control, your place of business, a watercraft, which is a boat, a travel trailer, camper trailer, truck camper, motorhome, and a horse trailer with living quarters, unless it's Usenet activity. So Usenet activity, let's say I'm going hunting. Let's say I'm going to a handgun class. Let's say I'm going to the gun range. If it's Usenet activity, then it's legal. You don't need a license for the handgun. But a long gun, let's say I want to walk into an office building. Do you know that you can take a long gun, a rifle, shotgun, AR-15, AK-47 into an office building? How would they prohibit you from walking into an office building with an AR-15? Simple. They can give you verbal notice. Simple verbal notice saying, hey, no firearms allowed. That takes care of the long gun. Or they can post a little sign with a gun on it, with a line drawn through it, a picture of a gun, says no firearms allowed. That takes care of the long gun. But for a handgun, in order for you not to walk into a place of business, we're talking about private property. In order for you not to walk into a place that's private property with a handgun, they have to post 830.06 sign. Person with a license cannot conceal carry their handgun, or 830.07 sign. Person with a handgun license cannot openly carry their handgun. And that's how you do it. So the legal system was basically stacked against black citizens with former Confederate soldiers working as police and judges, making it difficult for African Americans to win court cases and ensuring they were subject to black codes. Now, these codes were in conjunction with labor camps for the incarcerated, where prisoners were treated as enslaved people. Black offenders typically received longer sentences than their white equals, and because of the grueling work, often did not live out their entire sentence. So let's go back to talk about the guns, though. When it comes to long guns, man, I have a brand new AR pistol. I got a holster for it. But the producer's like, okay, can't do that. Dump. Sorry, had to dump that one. All right, so we have an AR pistol. I have an AR pistol with a nice belt on. Yeah, and it has a holster for it. I also have a sling. You're going to like that. Felicia, you're going to like that. It's an AR pistol.
Yeah. Are you describing my firearm right now?
No, I'm talking about mine.
I lost it in a very tragic boating accident.
Oh.
Very unfortunate.
No, mine's an AR pistol. Got a light, nice little tricks and tricks on it also. So I have to bring that into you one day and show you that one. Very nice.
One day, you're just a tease right now.
Just a tease. That's all I do is I just tease you. That's all I'm going to do. So when it comes to an AR pistol, you got to treat the AR pistols like they're handguns. Unfortunately, you have to, if you want to walk around with an AR pistol, you need to have a sling, something attaches to your shoulder, or it needs to attach to your belt, because that is considered a pistol, which falls under the handgun laws. As far as a long gun, you can walk around, you can carry the long gun, the rifle, shotgun, AR-15, but a pistol, treat that like the handgun that falls under the handgun law. So I want to talk about the history of gun control. I want to talk about where all that came from, because it all goes back to the 1870s in Texas. Back in the 1870s, that's when we first got our gun control laws, because down in Galveston, Texas, where the majority of people live, they said, hey, we don't want to get rid of our long guns. We're going to keep our long guns. But you know what? The handguns in Austin, where the laws were made at the Capitol here in Austin, they said, you know what? We're going to regulate handguns. And that's where it all started. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace, this is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
That's right. We're talking about the history of gun control. We're talking about the do's and don'ts from walking into the gun store and purchasing a firearm. What do you need to do? What can you not do? What are some of the things that the gun store is going to do behind your back that you don't even know? But you know what? Michael Cargill is going to tell you those little secrets. All those secrets of what happens behind the scenes at the gun store. What does that federal firearms license what do they do once you walk out the door? What do they do with your information? Do they have to share it? Are they sharing it? What's going on? We're going to tell you that today. You're going to learn today. Thought I told you. When it comes to the history of gun control, it goes back to the 1800s, back to the 1870s in Texas, where they first started removing guns from freed slaves. That's where your first gun control started. And after that, they said, you know what? Now let's regulate handguns. We're going to regulate handguns. Tell people, you know what? You can't carry your handgun here. You can't carry your handgun there. Do you know that in Texas, the Lone Star State, do you know you cannot have a handgun on a horse unless you have a license to carry a handgun?
That just sounds wrong.
That's in Texas. You guys aren't even paying attention. You don't even know. Don't even know. When you're supporting removing guns from people, you're supporting it all started because they're targeting, especially when my liberal friends, and I have a lot of them. I have liberal friends. When they're talking about removing guns from people, you're talking about you liberals, removing guns from blacks. That's what we're talking about. That's where it all started. Do you know that when someone says, you know what, we need universal background checks. Do you know what that means? Universal background checks? That means that, hey, we need to remove guns from certain people. And when it comes to universal background checks, if you're a convicted felon, let's say you were convicted of a felony 20 years ago. If they have universal background checks, that means that you will never, ever be able to purchase a gun from period. Because right now, the way the law is, if you're a convicted felon and you want to walk into the gun store and you want to purchase a gun, a firearm, you cannot be a convicted felon. You cannot be convicted of domestic violence. There are a long list of things, and I'm going to go over those here in a second. You won't be able to purchase a firearm from a gun store. If you pass universal background checks, those people, listen to those people that are saying, we need universal background checks. Well, those people that are saying that, you got to watch them because they're, you got to watch them. Got to watch who you're voting for. When this election rolls around, listen to those things. They're talking about you. They don't want you to have access to a gun to protect yourself and also protect your family. Let's change gears a little bit. Let's talk about purchasing a firearm inside of a gun store from a federal firearms license dealer. So we're going to pull up the firearms transaction record because I want you guys to look at the 4473. When you walk into a gun store, you want to purchase a firearm. I like to say firearm because we're talking handguns and long guns and others. You're going to purchase that firearm. You got to put down your last name, your first name, your middle name. If you don't have a middle name, because a lot of people don't, then you have to put I-O. I'm sorry. If you don't have a middle name, you leave it blank. You're going to put NMN, no middle name. If you have a middle initial, you're going to put I-O, initial only. All right, so let me say that again. So you put your last name, your first name, your middle name, and then if you only have an initial, you're going to put I-O, initial only. If you don't have a middle name at all, you're going to put NMN. That's N as in Nancy, M as in Mike, N as in Nancy, no middle name. All right. And then you're going to put your address. Now, the address is very important because the federal firearms license dealer is going to verify in box two there that the address that you're writing down is the address that matches your driver's license. People, let me help you out a little bit, okay? You know you've moved. If you know you've moved, don't walk into the gun store and put down that new address. Go ahead and put down the old address. I'm just telling you, I'm just putting it out there. Help me out a little bit, okay? Because you walk in and you put down that old address and I ask you a question. And I said, hey, is this where you live now? Oh, no. I live somewhere else. This is my old address. Guess what? You can't purchase that firearm. You can't. You got to update your address first. So I'm going to tell you the tricks in the trade, things I can tell you on the radio, but things I cannot tell you when you walk into the gun store. So you want to put down that address. Make sure the address that you're writing down matches your driver's license. What a concept. Shut your mouth. Too much information. Don't need to know it. Don't even care about it. All right. You don't have to answer questions. You don't have to talk to people, but people can't help themselves. They got to divulge that information. And then you're going to put down the county, not the country. I know you're from the America. Okay. Don't put down the country. We're asking you for the county. My goodness. I can't tell you how many. You can tell the idiots when they walk into the gun store and start filling out the paperwork. Then put down the state and the zip code. Also, we need to know where you're born. Okay, we need to know the city and the state, all right? If you're from Florida, I need to know what city you're born in Florida. I know you're an idiot when you walk in because I know my Florida people. You can spot a Florida man a million miles away, let me tell you.
Aren't you a Florida man?
I am a Florida man. Shut up. Okay, and then you're going to put down your height and your weight, all right? And don't lie about it because I'm going to question you. Your driver's license says how much you weigh, and I'm going to ask you about it. If you lie about your weight, we'll find out. And then put down the sex, male and female. Guess what? On that new form they're putting out, it's binary, I think.
Non-binary.
Non-binary. Yeah, so the government is going to start caring about you. Non-binary. I don't know what that means. And then there's birth date. Yes, we got to have your birth date. Not the expiration date of your driver's license. We need your birth date, okay? And no nicknames on this form. I don't care if your mother calls you Momo, Nene, Nene. I need to know the name that's on your driver's license. And then your social security number is actually optional. You don't have a you can choose not to put that down. But let me tell you, when we run the background check, if your name is, Michael Smith, you know, or Jim Jones, or, you know, a very common name, you're going to want to put down your social security number. That's going to help us out a little bit. And your ethnicity. Yes, you got to tell us if you're Hispanic or not Hispanic. Got to know that. And yes, those are two different boxes. So I need to know if you're Hispanic or not Hispanic. Then I need to know if you're white, black, American Indian, Asian, or Native Hawaiian. I got to know those things. Got to answer both those questions. Those are two separate boxes, Hispanic or not Hispanic. And then I need to know if you're American Indian, Asian, black, Native Hawaiian, or white. And then we got to get down to the questions. I need to know if you're an outstanding citizen. So tell me. Are you the one that's purchasing this firearm? Listen, when you walk into the gun store, trust me, we laugh at you as you leave. Because when you walk in, I can always tell if you're the one that that's purchasing the firearm. You know how it's simple. It's very simple. A lady comes in and she's like, I want to buy an AR-15. Okay, so you want to buy an AR. All right, so which AR would you like? You have to call someone on the telephone. You're looking at your phone, the text message. We're probably thinking, maybe this gun's not for you. You're saying, okay. But maybe that person doesn't know much about firearms, and that's why they're looking at the little cheat sheet, the little notes, okay? That could be the situation. But then we start, we talk to you a little bit, and you start divulging that information, and you don't even realize the things that you lead off, the things that you say, you kind of hint to us that, you know what? That, you know, I'm buying this gun for my husband or my boyfriend because he's a prohibited person. He can't buy the gun. And then I'm going to check and see, you're going to tell me, and we're going to verify and check, has this husband or boyfriend purchased a gun from us before? No? Then he's probably a prohibited person because he never walked into the gun store because he know he can't buy a gun. So don't buy the gun for someone else. You know, don't lie for the other guy. That's what the ATF tells you. So we got to know if this gun for you. It's okay. You can buy a gun for a gift for someone else. That's fine. You can definitely do that. But you got to be careful. You don't want to make a straw purchase. Straw purchase is you're buying a firearm for someone that you know cannot be in possession or purchase a firearm. So you're buying it for a prohibited person. So be careful of that. You got something to say, Felicia? What are you thinking?
I'm just learning.
Okay. And then let's go down to the indictment. Are you under indictment or any information in the court or felony? Got to answer yes or no. Have you ever been convicted of any court of a felony? Got to answer yes or no. Are you a fugitive from justice? Now, this is something that changed, guess what? Under the Trump administration. Yeah. And so under the Obama administration, if you're a fugitive from justice, you know, they could have denied you just simply for having a warrant for your arrest. But this is a good thing under the Trump administration because the DOJ, Department of Justice, had to settle an argument between the ATF and the FBI. The ATF said, hey, if they're going from one county to another, then it's considered they're a fugitive from justice. They're going from one state to another. Sorry, from one state to another, then they're a fugitive from justice if you have a warrant for your arrest. The FBI says, no. You know, everyone's, you know, if you have a warrant for your arrest, you're a fugitive from justice. ATF says, no, that's not correct. You know, this is the way it's supposed to be. And the DOJ solved that argument. They said, hey, if you have a warrant for your arrest, and you're leaving one state going to another state while you have a warrant, you are a fugitive from justice. So they solved that argument under the Trump administration. And then are you, and this is a big one, are you an unlawful user of, addicted to any marijuana or any depressants, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substance? In other words, the use of possession of marijuana remains unlawful under federal law, regardless of whether it has been legalized or decriminalized for medicinal or recreational purposes in the state where you reside. You got to answer that question. So do you have a medical marijuana card? Are you in Colorado? You know, got to be careful about those things because they're going to look at that. They're going to have access to it, and they're going to want to know. We're going to talk about that and some other things and finish this form. We come back from the break. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Brittany Glaze, and I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
That's right. We're back. We're talking about the history of gun control. Do's and don'ts about that firearm purchases when you walk into the gun store. But you know what? Before I go back to that, let me go to Taylor. Taylor Blunt. He's my on-the-scene reporter. He's down in the ruck. He's down on the grass. He's there where it all happens. Taylor, you're at the protest.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I am walking away from it right now. It just broke up around 2:30.
Man, how was it?
It was good. Everyone was kind of using their First Amendment right to speak what they wanted, and they sat, they sang the Star Spangled Banner and the National Anthem.
Oh, that's beautiful.
There's a lot of families there as well. Yeah. And it was led by InfoWars, though, and they did take everybody to the governor's mansion where the protest basically hung out until it eventually ended.
Is that a bad thing? Is it by InfoWars?
No, I'm just saying they're the ones who took them there. Yes.
Okay. And yeah, I know everyone was peaceful because you know how I know this? You don't ever have to tell me, Taylor. I know they're peaceful at the Capitol. They're peaceful at the governor's mansion because you know why? Because they weren't being babysat by Austin Police Department. They were being told that by the state police, DPS, that if you mess around on this property, we're going to put your butts in jail.
Oh, yeah. They were completely peaceful.
That's right. DPS don't play. So you're not going to act crazy at the Capitol grounds. You're not going to act crazy at the governor's mansion. We're going to hold you accountable, and we're going to lock you up if you don't. So what happened? So what did Alex Jones do? I know Alex Jones was there on the scene, was he not?
Yeah, he got they rolled up in their big armored out pickup truck, and he got out. He had them chant Fire Fauci. Fire Bill Gates and other slogans. And then he ended up going up to the him and Odin Shorter went up to the DPS troops and gave a couple people give speeches. And then Odin Shorter actually said, "Hello, thank you for being out here, and we got your back," talking to the state troopers as well. And they were completely nice. I even saw smiles on their faces.
Nice. Yeah, I love my troopers. My troopers, they do the right thing. They actually follow what the law is. You know, I never have any problems with DPS troopers. You know, they know the law, they follow the law, plus they have all their family members come take my class. All right, so everyone stayed in line. Man, you got to tell me something. Something bad happened, right?
Something bad. A couple counter protesters showed up. Some guy kept running up when people trying to give speeches and blowing an
Hey,
air
Taylor,
horn.
Wait. Did the boob lady show up?
The boob lady? I've never heard of her.
You know who that is? Oh, that's the lady. She loves to show her boobs and talk about how guns are bad and stuff. And she loves to chant my name for some reason. I think
she did not show up.
She thinks about me when she's going home at night.
I have never heard her chant your name, but
really?
I've seen the boob lady pretty often during legislative session. She's always outside the Capitol.
That's my future wife. Yes.
Yikes. You can do so much better.
Yeah, I could.
I mean, we've seen her
but
boobs.
I like
so
the way
like...
they droop, though.
Yeah.
Michael likes a challenge.
Yeah, we love a challenge. Yeah, yeah. So
he likes projects.
That's right. Let her know that if you see her, you'll see her one day. She put little stars on her stuff, you know, and you'll see her. Tell her Michael Cargill says hi.
I will.
Say hi. Tell him thinking about her. All right. So, hey, Taylor, I need you to meet me at the, at my location there on Congress. All right?
Okay. I will. I'll be there.
5:30.
Out there.
All right, you going to be there?
Yes, I will.
Outstanding. All right, I'll see you then. Thank you, Taylor. Taylor Blunt, he's on the scene. He's at the Capitol. He's at City Hall. He's always downtown Austin. He's everywhere. He's letting us know what's going on, where all those protests are down around Austin. Thank you, Taylor. All right, so let's go back to talking about the do's and the don'ts for firearm purchases. All right, so when you fill out this form, the 4473. Once we get past the felony portion, we get past the marijuana stuff, you know, yeah, you got to let us know if you're addicted to any controlled substances, unfortunately. And then we need to know, have you ever been adjudicated as a mental defective, or have you ever been committed to a mental institution? And I don't know what it is about people that lie about this. You know, if you've been put in the facility against your will, that's what they're asking. Have you been put in the facility against your will? Have you ever been discharged from the armed forces under dishonorable conditions? That's something that people are shocked by. If you've been kicked out of the military under dishonorable conditions, you cannot purchase a firearm from a gun store. Are you subject to a court order, restraining order, from harassing, stalking, or threatening a child or intimate partner or child of a such partner? You can't get a handgun license. You can't buy a gun if you've been subject to a restraining order or harassing or stalking or threatening a child or intimate partner. Have you ever been convicted in any court of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence? A simple Class C domestic violence will prohibit you from purchasing a firearm from a federal firearms license dealer. And then we need to know, are you a U.S. citizen? Are you, in, you know, U.S. citizen of this country or you're a citizen of another country? Got to put down those other countries. If you are, have you ever renounced your United States citizenship? Be careful what you say when you're at those protests. We're watching. And are you an alien illegally, unlawfully in the United States? Got to be here legally in the United States. And are you an alien who has been admitted to the United States under non-immigrant visa? Just need to know that so they can run that background check. And then once you've done that, you've answered those questions, you got to turn to the next page, page two, sign the form. And you're acknowledging that, hey, you certify that everything on this form is true and accurate and correct and complete. And you're going to put the date that you signed the form. And then we're going to put on here, if you're buying a handgun, long gun, or other, we're going to write down your driver's license number, the expiration date of your driver's license. Now, in this day and age, people have problems with their expiration date because their driver's license has expired or they've moved and they need to update their address. But the DPS is closed. You can't get there. There's some other options out there for you. All right, so let's say your driver's license is expired. Hopefully you have a passport, because unfortunately, if your driver's license is expired, you can't use it if it's expired. You got to have a passport or some other type of ID, state issued ID that we can take, you know, or government ID that we can take that's not expired, unfortunately, because the federal government does not care that the DPS driver's license office is closed. And then let's say your address does not match your driver's license because you moved. Well, what we can do in a situation like that is we can still use your driver's license as an ID to identify you as long as it's not expired. And then we have to take some type of utility bill, like a electric bill, your vehicle registration with the current address that you live in. Need two of something. Take two of those. We're going to write that down in 18B. Some supplement government issue documentation there. And then we're going to run your background check. We're going to contact the FBI, the NICS. We actually type it into a computer. And they're going to either tell us proceed, out you go with the gun, delayed, you have to wait 3 business days unless we call you back sooner. So, for example, let's say you bought the gun on Friday and you're delayed. That means you have to wait. You can't do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday doesn't include the weekend. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Thursday, if we don't get a response from the NICS, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, then you can walk back in on Thursday and pick up the firearm. And they'll either tell us yes, proceed, or delayed, or denied. If you're denied, then no, you can't get the gun, because that means that back on page one of those questions there, you didn't answer correctly. So something's going on there. So definitely check those questions, because that's the reason you'll be denied from purchasing a firearm. Now, on that form, on page 3, we're going to write down the manufacturer, the model, the serial number, the type, and the caliber of the firearm. That information is not going to be given to the FBI or the ATF unless that gun's been found to used in a crime. Or if you walk into the gun store, you buy 2 handguns or more in a 5-day period, 2 long guns or more in a 5-day period, then that gun store has to fill out what we call the report of multiple sale forms. So take a look at this form. It's called we're going to put this up on the screen for you. It's a report of multiple sale form. We have to fill this report out. And this report, we're going to fax this into the FBI, the NICS, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. And we're also going to fax it into or email it into the chief law enforcement officer in a county that you live in. This is important. I can tell you this on the radio show. I cannot tell you this in the gun store. I can be arrested with obstructing justice. So you walk into the gun store, you buy 2 handguns or more in a 5-day period, 2 long guns or more in a 5-day period. That FFL dealer has to fill out this form, the report of multiple sale form, with everything about you, everything about the pistol. They're going to put down the pistol, the serial number, the manufacturer, the model, the caliber, and the date we transferred it to you. They're going to put down your last name, first name, middle initial, your address, your sex, your ethnicity, your race, identification number, you know, the driver's license, that number, the date of birth, the place of birth, everything about you. And we're going to fax that into the FBI, the NICS, the National Institute of Criminal Background Check System, also the chief law enforcement officer in the county that you live in. If you buy two handguns or more in a five-day period, or two long guns or more in a five-day period. Now, we, since we are a manufacturer of firearms, we actually have a manufacturer's license. I can manufacture firearms. I have a type 07 federal firearms license dealer license. So that means that I don't have to report the long gun sales. Now, we only do the handgun sales. Now, keep in mind, this does not include law receivers. You can buy 10 law receivers if you want to, 10 strip law receivers. But if you buy 10 long guns, that gets reported. Two long guns gets reported from other federal firearms license dealer. From us, no. If you buy two handguns or more, we have to fill out this form and send that into the DOJ, basically. So, and that's because we border Mexico, and if any state that borders a foreign country, they have to fill out these multiple sale forms and send that in by the close of business of that day. So that means that your chief law enforcement officer in the county that you live in, they will know the make, model, serial number of the guns that you have, and that's how they can find out what guns you own and possess. So keep that in mind when you walk into the gun store to purchase multiple firearms within 5 days. We come back from the break. We're going to find out what's going on around the country. We're going to find out what's going on in current events. And also answer any questions that you have. Give us a call. Our call-in number, what is it? 512-543-2284. That's 512-543-2284. Give me a call. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Yo, what's going on, guys? It's Jack Jones here, and I get my gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
Hey, how you doing? It's a great day. Man, I tell you, don't worry about all that. What is that little fever? That thing
going around?
Fog. No, not the Rona. We're not talking about the Rona. I'm talking about that little fog.
Oh, that's the Saharan dust.
The Saharan dust, yeah.
All the way from Africa.
All the way from my homeland of Africa. Well, I tell you, motherland is reaching out and touching you a little bit, letting you know, hey, we're still here. We exist. And that Rona is coming up on your rear end there. All right, so our call-in number is 512-543-2284. That's 512-543-2284. This is the time. Call me up. Ask me questions. What do you want to know about the gun laws? What do you want to know? Can you do this? Because the biggest, oh my goodness, what is up with this week with people asking us about face mask and guns? Yes, you can wear a face mask and carry a gun in Texas. It's okay. You can do it. I do it. I'm a black guy. And I walk into the bank with a face mask and carrying a gun in the open. Yes, Felicia, I do this.
I know. I've seen it on Facebook.
Yes.
But everyone at that bank loves you anyway. So.
I try to go in all the different banks. I want to wear my face mask and walk and say, you know what? I like to take all my money out of the bank. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Call me up. Ask me. Ask me those hard questions. 512-543-2284. It's 512-543-2284. Come and talk it. Let's go to Dave. Dave, you're on with Come and Talk It.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, what's
Thanks
up, Dave? What's going on, Dave?
Hey, I was in your class yesterday morning.
Oh, man.
You brought up
Was it a good class?
It was very good. I appreciate you a lot, man.
All right, good. I hope you learned a lot.
I did. One thing you brought up that I want a little more clarification on was about gifting a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give my daughter a handgun, and she says that she probably will probably need to do go to a gun store and do paperwork.
Nah.
And I said, I don't think so.
Nah, you don't have to do that. No, it's okay for you to give someone a gift. You can give your daughter a gift, and that can be a gift of a gun. So you can buy a gun, and you can give it to her as a gift. You don't have to walk into a gun store and transfer it from one person's name to another. That doesn't exist. There's no such thing. But you know what? You tell her if she wants to, I'll take that $25 transfer fee, and she can walk into the gun store with you, fill out the paperwork, and we can log that into our books, and then we can do a background check on her, have her fill out the form, and transfer it to her and charge her $25 for it. If she wants to, I'll do it because I want to make sure she's comfortable. But there's no need. You don't have to. But I'll take that $25 from her.
That works for me. I appreciate it.
No, not a problem at all. Let me tell you guys, call me. Ask me those questions. This is your chance. 512-543-2284. That's 512-543-2284. Come and talk it. Ask me those hard questions. Can I do this? Can I do that? You know, what can you not do? Definitely give us a call. Zach, come on. Give me something hard, Zach.
What's the weirdest question you've ever been asked in class?
Can I shoot a cop? That's like, oh my God, no. No, don't do that. Oh, yeah, I hate that question. I get that. Yes. Don't do it. Don't do it. No, please don't do that. And I get that. I've been getting that a lot lately with protests and things of that nature. And especially when we're in the heart of the protests, people were just like, hey, can I shoot a cop? If I was videotaping and I see this cop doing something and it looks like they're taking this person's life, can I just shoot them to get them to stop? No, don't do that. I said, here, let's think about this. Let's break this down. Okay, so you're videotaping, you're there, and you see a cop using greater force than necessary to arrest someone. That's what we're talking about. And then you pull out a weapon or something, and you stop that police officer. You kill him. What's going to happen is, what do you think is going to happen when his backup shows up? When his backup shows up, they're going to kill you. So only thing in that situation you can do is document it, be a good witness, videotape it, and comply. Because if you do something, you're going to die. And unfortunately, that's how it's going to happen. But you know what? I'm going to make you rich. Zach, I make them rich. Here's how you make them rich. I say, if an officer's doing this to you, let's say they're using greater force than necessary to arrest you. Don't resist. Don't be disorderly. Comply. And then, if they're doing something wrong, you sue. I want to make you rich. You sue. Do you know what Travis County, the Austin Police Department, they will settle? The city of Austin will settle. You will win some money. I'm going to make you rich. Sue!
They'll pay a lot of money, too.
They'll pay a lot of money. They set money aside. Yes, just for that. Felicia, they set money aside. They said, hey, you know what? We mess up. We do stuff wrong. We're not going to prosecute. They're not going to prosecute that officer. You're not going to get joy that way. But you can get joy by, excuse me, can you write that check for $1 million, please, for choking me too hard? Yeah, they'll pay. They set money aside for that for things like that.
Yeah, I'm aware. I mean, and this is one of the reasons that I think reforming the police is so prominent in today's conversations is because cities and police departments should not be preparing for their officers to use excessive force. That's what they're doing, and they're refusing to prosecute.
Set money aside for it.
Yeah, they're literally preparing for it. It's like, or maybe you could use that money to better train your officers so that this is an issue that
you have
to deal with.
But what they do, you know they give DAs a pass? Your district attorneys get a pass. No one pays attention to district attorneys. And they're the ones that are responsible for prosecuting them.
Yeah. What do you mean they get a pass?
They get a pass.
And the fact that they
right
don't
now,
prosecute?
if you're upset about what's happening with your police department in whatever city you live in, you should be standing at the district attorney's office right now protesting that DA because that person has the power. And in Travis County, all these people that are standing at the police department, you're wasting your energy. If you're standing at the Capitol, you're wasting your energy. But if you're standing at the DA's office, the Travis County DA is the most powerful DA in the entire state of Texas. The Travis County DA is the most powerful district attorney in the entire state of Texas. The Travis County DA is the most powerful district attorney in the entire state of Texas. Why do I say that? Because the Travis County DA is the only DA in the state that can prosecute an elected official. They have the special office right there for them to prosecute elected officials at Travis County. That's
Who would they prosecute?
Who
should they?
A state representative, a state senator. They can actually prosecute those people. And we need to focus on them. That
should
DA.
They prosecute
we need to focus
them?
On that DA.
Should that, they do that? Should they prosecute?
I don't know. Don't know. If they've done something wrong, then maybe yes, they should. Let's go to the phone lines. Our call-in number is 512-543-2284. That's 512-543-2284. Give me a call. Ask me those hard questions. Let's go to line one. Yes, sir. You're on with Come and Talk It.
Hey, that boob lady, is that something you actually want to see, or am I going to be like, oh, man, I didn't want to see that?
Nah, you ain't going to want to see it. I'm telling you straight up, you don't want to see it. You're going to wish you have never seen it before in your life. Let me tell you.
Different strokes for different folks.
Nah, you ain't going to want to see that. Trust me. What you got for me?
Well, thanks. I won't be looking then.
No, don't look. Put on your shades. I'm telling you now. You're going to learn today. I thought I told you.
All right. Enjoy your show. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Nah, you don't want to see the boob later. I'm telling you now. No, you're going to go blind for a year. Because he ain't real low. Oh, man. Okay. What's going on? What's happening? Well, Zach, you sent me some stuff on text message this week that was going on around the country. What was it? Remember what it was?
What did I send you?
I don't even know. You sent me some good stuff. What's going on? What's going on out there? Hey, Felicia, we had the Travis County convention.
Yeah, so the Travis County Republican Party had their Senate District Convention yesterday because we are gearing up for the Republican Party of Texas convention that is in less than 3 weeks.
Wow, yeah, getting ready for the largest convention in the entire state of Texas.
It's the largest political convention in the world.
In the world, largest yeah. political convention in the world. That's right. And it's going to be right here in Texas.
In Houston at the George R. Brown Convention Center.
I'm going. You going?
I'm definitely going. Yeah, I'll be there the whole week.
It's going to be ground zero for Rona.
Yeah.
Ground zero for for the COVID-19.
Yeah, there were a lot of articles that came out this week that were kind of bashing Republicans for still having our state convention. Mm. Like, well, there's not enough property for us to have it outside.
Right.
And then, yeah, I mean, I don't know if y'all have looked at the Republican Party lately, but most of the people there wouldn't really survive outside.
Are you saying they're old as dirt?
I'm saying that a lot of them are older than me.
Oh, okay. Slightly.
Just a little bit.
Marginal.
Like, you could be my dad, so.
I am your daddy, but anyway.
Oh. Sorry if you're listening, Mom. That just got real weird.
That's right. You're right. It's the largest convention in the world,
yeah.
A political convention. And it could be, you know, that's going to be really tricky. And for people that are saying, hey, don't wear a face mask. I wanted to have one of my friends on that actually, you know, is actually in the hospital right now. That's actually fighting, you know, to survive because he actually caught, you know, he got the COVID-19. And so hopefully he pulls through. And he's a old business partner of mine. And I wanted to get him on the show. Couldn't get him on the phone before we came on the air. But he, you know, wanted to come on and talk to people about wearing their PPE, their personal protection equipment, wearing that face mask when you're out and about and stuff like that. And you know, just wash your hands, you know, bathe. A lot of people, man, I look at people's hands all day long. I'm thinking, man, your fingernails are so dirty. Wash your hands. All right. As always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You listen to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.